The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Weight loss jabs have burst onto the market and the demand for these injections has skyrocketed. But what started as a solution for those struggling with obesity has now become a quick fix solution for those looking to shed just a couple of pounds. Some of those drugs are now available in some beauty clinics, but what kind of message is that sending? And how will those who need it most lose out? For more on this, I'm joined by Professor Donal O'Shea, Clinical Director at St. Vincent's University Hospital and Professor at UCD School of Medicine. Good morning, Donal.
Morning, Pat.
What are you hearing about the availability of these drugs in what might be termed inappropriate settings?
Well, there's widespread availability, and my hope had been with the advent of proper medical treatments for obesity that we would begin to destigmatize the disease of obesity. But what's happening is the opposite. And you have, as you say, beauty clinics and aesthetic clinics that are offering this these treatments without any, if you like, indication for people who want to be leaner than they are. They don't meet any of the criteria for treatment because they don't have obesity. They just want to be thinner, and they're getting these treatments without appropriate, if you like, advice, without appropriate screening, and it's kind of unthinkable, really. But that is where we are now.
Now, the thing is that, the idea of weight loss has become, you know, quite medicalized. People believe there is a medicine for having excess weight, you know, that can do the work for you. I mean, the conventional thing is still, and I see a story in the papers today, the latest fitness fad, it's staring you in the face, S-T-A-I-R-I-N-G, it's a pun, it's staring you in the face. The idea that people who regularly go up and down the stairs instead of taking the lift are generally healthier and fitter than those who don't.
And that's correct. And you know, here in St. Vincent's, we have, it's a four-story hospital. I ban our endocrine team from using the lift and say, take the stairs. And, you know, I have a reporting strategy. If porters around the hospital see a member of our team taking the lift, it gets back to me because I think we
so
do need to
punishment?
Take a lead on that.
What's your punishment, Donal?
My punishment is just calling them out and say, you know, you were spotted in a lift. I mean, no healthcare professional should be in a lift unless they are bringing a patient or carrying a whole load of medical records or whatever. It's
generally
a very
not quicker.
Simple
it's
message.
Not quicker anyway. The lift usually
you're standing, you're waiting. You're standing and waiting. So, and it honestly, it's simple. But you look in Dundrum at the people who are taking the stairs, versus the escalator. And standing on the escalator versus those. And there is a difference in their body shape.
You think it's observable to the ordinary person?
Oh,
you can actually
totally.
See.
Yeah. No, absolutely. Go do it. The next time you're in Dundrum, just have a look at the people who are on the stairs up and down versus the people on the escalator. And they're a different phenotype. They're a different shape.
I take the travelator that doesn't have steps on it. I tend to run up it or walk up it very fast. Is that okay?
You can certainly, when I'm in an airport, I will avoid the walk, the kind of the flat escalator, and I will increase my step count by staying to the right of it most of the time. But if I go on it, I walk on it.
Yeah. But you try to keep up with the person on the travelator, as they call it, by increasing
your race.
It's a little race.
Yeah.
Yeah. I do the same, I must say. I confess to that. Now, let's talk, though, about the regime. When you're trying to lose weight, at what point do you intervene medically, first of all, with drugs and ultimately surgically? Because people will be saying, you know, Ozempic, it's okay, it may not suit everyone's digestion, but it's trouble-free by and large. you know, I don't have to get up early in the morning and do my 10,000 paces before breakfast. I don't necessarily have to curb my eating because the drug will curb it for me.
Yeah, you know, unfortunately, we have arrived at a situation where the medical treatment of obesity has been hijacked by the, the aesthetic, the beauty industry. And that's incredibly disappointing for those of us who have been working in the area of obesity for our professional lives, because obesity is a chronic relapsing disease. It causes high blood pressure, stroke, heart disease, cancer. And we now have a medical treatment that has been studied. We know what the indications for the treatment are. We know that it works in about 30 to 40% of people very well with the treatments we have at the moment. It doesn't work in about 30%, and it causes a lot of side effects that land people in hospital in maybe 10% of people.
Okay.
And honestly, we are admitting people every week with the side effects of these treatments. If people get treatments in an aesthetic outlet, they don't declare it when they come into hospital sick. And you're looking at somebody who's sick and you're asking them what medication they're on. It's not declared. And that means you're blinded.
So, are they embarrassed? Is that the reason why they don't declare it? That they're embarrassed that they've gone to a beauty clinic or a beauty salon and sourced?
I think it's a combination of they don't think of it as a drug. They just think of it as something they've got, you know, and because it's a once a week thing, most of these treatments are once a week injections at the moment. They don't think of it as a daily medication. So they just, so it's a combination of embarrassment and they don't really rank it as a drug.
Now, there are a number of these weight loss drugs, Mounjaro, Ozempic, Wegovy, administered, I presume, under different protocols. Are there any particular ones that are particularly available? Because I remember not too many months ago, we were hearing about a shortage of all of these, primarily because they were being diverted to the beauty industry rather than to the patients who needed them.
Yeah, there was a global shortage of Ozempic. The company that deal with Mounjaro, Lilly, did not launch in Ireland until they were confident of supply. So they have that. But the retatrutide, which is still in clinical trials and won't be available to us as medical practitioners to prescribe, is widely available already through the aesthetic beauty industry. And that is unprecedented in the history of managing any disease, that a drug that is not yet available clinically is being widely used already in the aesthetic industry. It's an unthinkable situation.
And this is
situation.
With the cooperation of the manufacturer, clearly. I mean, they couldn't get it without...
No, absolutely not. This is through compound pharmacies that are manufacturing the drug based on knowing its, if you like, its makeup. They are manufacturing it and they're supplying it to the beauty industry. It's absolutely not something that any pharmaceutical company would support.
The manufacturers of the branded products, the household names we are familiar with now, they do not supply the beauty industry.
100% do not supply. Could not supply. If they did, they would be, it would break every code of practice and they would be, subject to massive exposure and potential lawsuits. Mm.
So are there people, given that these are, if you like, grey market supplies of the drugs, it cannot be said, I suppose, that patients who desperately need Mounjaro or Ozempic or Wegovy are being deprived of it because they wouldn't be sourcing it from those grey markets.
That's correct. I mean, the major barrier to people, individuals getting access to treatment at the moment actually is cost. And so when I sit down and I'm talking to somebody who meets all the criteria for starting this treatment within the context of the studies that have been published, I am sitting there saying, look, if you start Ozempic, it is going to cost you 140 or 150 euro a month. If you start Mounjaro, it's going to be closer to 350 euro a month. That's just not doable for the vast, vast majority of people. And what we need in the obesity space is for these treatments to become more affordable. We need the Department of Health, and at a higher level, we need, even at a World Health Organization level, we need a policy around how these treatments are going to be used, where they're going to be used, because ultimately, if you treat obesity, you will prevent the complications of heart disease, of cancer, of stroke, and ultimately, you will have people healthier for longer, which is
so,
what we want.
Finally, Donnelly, it's really an opinion, I suppose, but do you think that there is still the idea of funding the fat jab because people don't believe in the idea of obesity as a disease? They think it's people stuffing their faces and that's why they are the way they are, and we shouldn't be funding that. They should be exercising more self-control. Is that part of the kind of the issue central to getting it funded properly?
It's a huge part of the narrative and changing that understanding. So if you could choose to be thin, obesity would not exist. The disease of obesity is now well defined. It's clear, it's chronic, it's relapsing. Within the medical profession, I think maybe 5 to 10% of people buy that. 90% don't. Within the general public, I think it's still 99% don't get that, and maybe an increasing 1% do. And it's only when that narrative changes that we will have appropriate funded access to these treatments.
Professor Donal O'Shea, Clinical Director at St. Vincent's University Hospital, Professor at UCD School of Medicine, thank you very much for joining us.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.